Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In 2003, Supreme Judicial Court Chief Justice Margaret Marshall wrote, quote, "The Massachusetts Constitution affirms the dignity and equality of all individuals. It forbids the creation of second-class citizens." And with those words, written in a 4-3 ruling that legalized same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, Marshall reshaped the American legal landscape. Today, Marshall announced that she will step down from the bench in October. She does so at the age of 66, 4 years before justices are required to step down at age 70. But she made the decision, she says, in order to be with her husband, Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times columnist Anthony Lewis, who was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Tony and I are both at an age when we have learned to value deeply the precious gift of time. And so with deep regret, but also with deep conviction, I will relinquish my role as Chief Justice in order that, without distraction, Tony and I may enjoy our final seasons together.
Margaret Marshall was the first female Chief Justice in Massachusetts. A native of South Africa, she was also the court's first immigrant Chief Justice. As for the Massachusetts Constitution that guided her and the lawyers who argued before her, Marshall said, "Perhaps it is because I grew up in a country with no system of justice that I feel so passionate about it." Joining us now with more on Margaret Marshall's retirement and her legal legacy is David Frank. He's senior news reporter with the Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. David Frank, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you were there today when Chief Justice Marshall announced, kind of in a surprising way, that she's going to step down in October. What was the immediate reaction amongst her legal colleagues?
A lot of surprise. I mean, I think, you know, what ended up happening was at about 9:30, 10 o'clock this morning, a statement went out from the trial court indicating that Chief Justice Marshall was calling a press conference. Initially, a lot of people thought it might have had something to do with the budget. There's been so much talk about the money woes that are facing the courts right now that was the initial speculation. But a few minutes before 11, when Chief Justice Marshall began speaking, word started sort of trickling out that it was, in fact, a retirement. So Nobody saw it coming. Big surprise.
So, for observers nationwide, it's the Goodrich case, the gay marriage case, which will probably be Chief Justice Marshall's defining legacy from her time on the Supreme Judicial Court. But for people who have been watching her career most closely, is that sort of an anomalous case, or is it emblematic of how she led the SJC?
I think it's emblematic, more so than an anomaly. I mean, it was a case where, you know, obviously it was a controversial case, and, you know, heading into the decision, I think if you talk to the seven judges who decided it, they all knew that it was going to be widely covered and be controversial. But I think the way that the court, the majority, went about deciding the case was sort of consistent with the way the Marshall Court was run.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the law, you look at the facts, and you make a determination that's based on it, whether it's going to be controversial or not. I think Chief Justice Marshall always embraced that notion, and I mean, that case is clearly the first case that people will probably talk about when they think about her tenure. But it was kind of consistent with the way she ran things throughout.
Mm-hmm. Well, that case specifically, it was named Goodrich versus the Department of Public Health, again in 2003. Chief Justice Marshall was actually asked about that today in the press conference, and here's what she had to say.
"I have said many times that on the day that the Goodrich case was argued, our courtroom was packed. And when that case was finished, there were many people who left the courtroom, but not everybody. There were others left in the courtroom. And for them, the next case was just as important as the Goodrich case. For me, every case has that importance."
So, David Frank, I guess the question on my mind here is, Yes, it's Massachusetts. Yes, it's the Supreme Judicial Court. But are people wondering, did the court move maybe further left under Margaret Marshall, or was it kind of always inclined to make decisions that would ring as broadly as the Goodrich case did?
Well, that's not an easy question to answer, and there are people out there today who will say, based on the last couple of appointments, that it's become more left than it ever was before. I mean, Chief Justice Marshall, obviously, as the chief, was an influential part of that court, but I think it's hard to sort of look at one person, even the person who is the chief, and say that because of their presence, the court was one way versus the other. Mm-hmm. Clearly now, particularly in on the criminal side with some of the search and seizure decisions that have come from the SJC the last 18 months, 2 years, there are a lot of people out there who say it's left, more left today than it ever was before. And I don't really think you can attribute that to Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Well, another issue that Margaret Marshall has been very passionate about, especially in these last few years, is sort of the economic state of the judicial system in Massachusetts. And, you know, she said often that because of the recession and budget constraints, the very right to equal and prompt justice in Massachusetts could potentially be under threat. And she once again touched upon that today as well. Let's listen.
It's going to be very difficult for our judges, our clerks, our legislators, our judicial staff, everybody in the system, to continue to deliver justice at the same pace that we have become accustomed to in Massachusetts.
So this is obviously unfinished work that she's leaving behind, David Frank. Do you also believe that her fellow justices and maybe the person who will take her place as Chief Justice continues to have that concern about the economic health of the judicial system in Massachusetts?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, one of the questions I asked today at the press conference then afterwards was, you know, exactly on that. I mean, the court is in a crisis mode right now. We received notice yesterday that there are going to be meetings in the month of August where court closures are discussed and layoffs are going to be discussed. It's very real right now, and obviously the chief judge of the SJC is required in a lot of ways to oversee those problems. And I don't think there's any doubt that the biggest issue number one for Marshall's replacement, is going to sort of be surviving in these economic times.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to remind everyone, Margaret Marshall was appointed by former Governor William Weld in 1996, and she became Chief Justice of the SJC in 1999. So 11 years later, David Frank, for you, really, what's sort of the best way to describe the legal legacy of Chief Justice Margaret Marshall here in Massachusetts?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you could tell talk about Margaret Marshall without discussing Goodrich. I mean, she was sort of hesitant even today to have her tenure defined by that one case, but more so than any other case, I mean, it is the case where her philosophy and her style of judging was best demonstrated. She took a very controversial subject matter. She made the decision to actually author the majority decision, not something that she had necessarily to do. And I think ultimately when her story is written, that'll be chapter one, and that'll be something that we talk about throughout the book.
Last question that just occurs to me, David Frank, even though she announced her retirement today, is there any buzz about who might be taking her place as the next Chief Justice at the SJC?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's one of the reasons that Lawyers Weekly is operating. We're certainly looking into that right now. I mean, there were a lot of candidates. The last nominee was a seat that was filled by Judge Ralph Gantz. There were a lot of nominees who I know were interested in the position. I do not imagine that their interest has waned just because of the passage of some time. So that's a story to stay tuned. I mean, there's two issues here. Who's going to replace Chief Justice Marshall on the bench, and who's going to be the next chief? And we're on it.
All right, David Frank, we'll check back in with you when you've got the answer. David Frank is reporter for the Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. Thanks so much for being with us.
All right, thank you.